evening. Call to order the regular meeting of the Terre Haute City Council, 6 p.m. Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. Would you please join us in a moment of silence and pledge of allegiance led by Councilperson Don Moore.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Step here first. When you are ready, Michelle, would you please call the roll?
Councilperson Aller.
Present.
Councilperson Azar.
Present.
Councilperson Crossan.
Present.
Councilperson Devon.
Here.
Councilperson Elliott.
Here.
Councilperson Garrison.
Here.
Councilperson Morris.
Here.
Councilperson Nasser.
Present.
Councilperson Nation.
Here.
All are present.
Thank you. Just for the benefit of everyone in the audience, if you haven't gotten copy of our agenda and you'd like one, there's some right up here in the front, and you're welcome to come get one. Also, we're making a few changes in the order of that agenda. As we are here right now, we will be moving the items on first reading. Those are going to change a little bit. We're going to move the appropriations regarding the budgets. The appropriation 16-2019, which is our Terre Haute City budget, will actually be the last item on our agenda tonight. And that's for a procedural reason. If perchance we would want a little longer to look at the budget before we passed it, we have to actually go into recess. By law, we can't table it. So we don't want to put any of the other business on our agenda at risk. Because we're taking that in that order. So that's going to happen as our last item of business this evening. So thank you. It's our custom to have up to 30 minutes of time for the public to comment on items which are not on our agenda. So if you would like to comment briefly on an item that is not on our agenda and is of concern to the City Council, please come to the podium, state your name, address, and please keep your remarks to about 3 minutes. Thank you.
My name is Donald Wayne Hyde. I live at 1411 Poplar Street, Terre Haute, Indiana. I say that to introduce myself as a member of Terre Haute City. I lived here all my life. I'm going to talk today about something I attended a few days ago. I was quite disappointed. But I also picked up a couple of themes that they were talking about, which also disappointed me. Because not one person mentioned one key word that every single person in this county is listening for before they vote. One simple word. Nobody said it. That word is opportunity. I have heard all kinds of other words that, and they didn't go into much detail, and I can understand why. The bottom line is, we have problems. In order to solve these problems, and they did mention some of the problems, they're pretty obvious. People don't want to stay here. They don't want to live here. When the young people get big enough to move out of the house, they are gone. They leave Terre Haute. And sometimes we lose the brightest people that we've had. And sometimes they come back when they're older and they've already went through their career. I know a lot of people that way. The other problem is that the word opportunity, it's a two-sided sword. Now, right now, we're talking about trying to get people to come as tourists and visit Terre Haute. I got no problem with that. But again, in order to have that accomplished, you have to give, you have to have an opportunity to have them come. You also are having this thing built. I can't keep the name straight in my head what it is, but it's where you're going to have conventions. Well, in order to have the conventions, you are giving people an opportunity to come with a good number of people that normally they haven't been able to find a place to hold a convention before, and now they're going to have a place. And the bigger conventions could still be held at ISU. But the problem is the same problem 20 years ago, when ISU had the place they got built. They didn't come. Or they came, but they didn't come long. Why? The word opportunity is why. What could they come and see in Terre Haute? I ask each and every one of you to think the same thought. And I'm telling you right now, every voter's thinking the same thought. Believe me, everybody I hear are against a lot of things. The main reason they're against it is for that word opportunity. What do you have the opportunity to do in Terre Haute? Now, I'll tell you what you should have the opportunity to do. If you're a family, you should have the opportunity to take your family to a park. I don't care how clean it is. I do care how safe it is. I care it looks like a park. I care that you can sit out in the sun. You can watch the kids. You can have a picnic. You can have family time together. The opportunity to have family time. I've already told this committee once before that what this election is about is not the last 20 years, the first 20 years of the 21st century. No, it's about the last 40 years, or the last two generations. From 1980 to 2000, from 2000 to 2020. That's two complete generations. And during that period of time, Terre Haute lost more and more opportunities for average people.
Mr. Hyde, if you could please wrap up
here. All right. I'm listening when I'm going to vote for the word opportunity. How you can make more opportunities for the citizens of Terre Haute and Vigo County. And I hope I start hearing some. And remember this, there's only one more city council meeting before the election. There's only two more county council meetings before the election. It's sooner than you think. The election will be here sooner than you think. I hope you start informing the voters on the word opportunity and what it means to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment on a non-agenda item? If not, we'll move forward. Are there any corrections to the journal of the last meeting?
There are none.
Communications from the mayor.
Madam President, members of the council, Mayor Duke Bennett. Paige Sansone is here tonight from Baker Tilly to go through the updated comprehensive financial plan. So I'm going to have her come on up here and do that. I'm going to give you a copy of this.
Thank you, and good evening. Paige Sansone. I'm a partner with Baker Tilly Municipal Advisors. I did hand out to you before the meeting started the most recent version of the Comprehensive Financial Plan for the city. Please note that this is, as always, a working document. It can be modified as things change, such as modifications to the budget, if there are any, and any additional information we would receive from the state over the next several weeks. In the interest of time, I'm going to just give you a high-level summary or overview of this report. I'm going to start on page number 2 in the executive summary, and I'm really just going to cover the main operating funds of the city. Again, just in the interest of time, just giving you the high-level view of things. So starting on page number 2, the second to the last paragraph, I think it's important to note that, and you already know this, I'm sure, that most taxpayers are at the maximum limit for property taxes that can be paid because they're hitting the tax caps. So any future increase in property taxes will be due to increases in assessed value, not necessarily tax rates. So while the amounts of property tax levied by the city have increased, and in fact they've grown by 32%, that's not, the amount of collections are not increasing that well at all. In fact, the amount that you've collected over the last 10 years have only increased by 10%. So think about that. Your levies have increased by 32%, but what you're able to collect because of the property taxes have only increased by 10%. The estimated property tax receipts for 2019 are expected to be approximately $2.2 million more than 2010 actual receipts. That is a very small margin of growth over a 10-year period. Moving on to page number three, we have a graph that shows, it compares the net property tax, so your property tax collections, with the total amount of taxes that you're levying, and then you can see the circuit breaker. So, for instance, in 2019, you are levying $36.4 million, but you're only collecting about $23.6 million. So $12.8 million of what you levy is being returned to taxpayers in the form of credits. If we were not in an era of circuit breaker credits, you would have an additional $12.8 million to operate, to use to fund your budgets. If you look at the chart below, you can see that throughout the entire county, there's about $32 million of credits that are being returned to the taxpayers. 40% of those really are generated by the city of Terre Haute. Moving on to page number four, this graph shows a comparison of net assessed values and certified tax rates. There is an inverse relationship between those. So as net assessed values decline, tax rates increase. You can see in those periods of times when you had a higher net assessed value, the tax rate would go down and vice versa. I think it's important to note that tax rates have increased by almost 20% since 2010, and at the same time period, your net assessed values have only increased by 10%. So again, that 20% increase in tax rates is not really what the City Council has been doing. You haven't been causing that significant of an increase. The problem is your net assessed value has not been growing as fast as the small increases that we get in property tax revenue. Moving on to page number five. On this page, we are showing the historical ending cash balances of the main operating funds. So this is not all the funds of the city. It's just the main operating funds. We continue to see improvements with the city's financial position. You can see that from 2012 through 2017, these main operating funds had deficit balances. Starting in 2017, those balances went above zero, and we are projecting that they will continue to go above zero. In fact, at the end of 2018, you had $620,000 for all of those funds combined. So we see a positive trend with these fund balances for your main operating funds. Moving on to page number six, this graph shows your historical expenditures from the same operating funds. The average increase in expenditures from 2010 to 2018 was only 0.6%. That's the average increase over those years. The average inflationary rate during that time period was 1.8%. So your budget has been growing by a much slower rate even than inflation. So we can't say that your expenditures have grown rapidly over that time period. This is almost a flat line for this eight-year period. The city has taken a number of steps to help improve its financial position. Most recently, and I'm at the bottom of page six, by the way, most recently the city has switched from a self-insured health and dental insurance plan to a fully insured plan. We estimate an annual cost savings of making that change of $750,000. In addition, the county adopted a 0.3% public safety local income tax, which generates about $2 million for the city, which has greatly enhanced the revenue sources for public safety. Moving on to page number 8. Page number 8 is an illustration of additional annual revenues that would be needed to do two things. One, to get you at a certain operating percentage in all of your main operating funds, and to two, bridge any funding deficits that you might have. This is illustrative, so we're just showing how you could get to a 5% cash reserve up to a 15% cash reserve. You can see that a number of funds are already at those reserve levels, which is great. But there are a few that are still struggling to get to those levels. So what this page says really is that you need $1.2 million of additional revenue over the next 5 years if you want to reach 5% in all of those operating funds, up to $1.6 million to reach 15% in all of those operating funds over a five-year period. I think if we compare this to last year's report that I gave you, you would see that many of the funds were not at those reserve levels. So we can see that things are beginning to improve. Now I would like to go straight into the cash flows. So that would be page number 12. And again, since this is your budget adoption tonight, I really just want to focus on budget year 2020, although you can see we are showing 2 years of historical data, 2017 and 18, and then we do project out to 2023. But let's just focus on 2020. I would like to bring your attention to line number 18, which is total operating receipts. So we are projecting for 2020 total operating receipts of $34.6 million. To have a balanced budget, we would say, we would tell you to match your disbursements with those receipts. If you underspend those receipts, it means you have a better than balanced budget and you're adding to your cash reserves. So look down on line 29. Your proposed budget as it stands now is $33.2 million. That is below the receipts that we are projecting. You have a better than balanced budget in the general fund. So what that should do then for you, if you look on page, if you look at the next page on line 53, your cash reserve should increase because you are underspending your receipts, or you're projected to underspend your receipts. So in just the general fund, we would expect your ending cash to be around $3.4 million, which is a 10% cash reserve. So again, showing you that one of your main operating funds, I mean, your general fund really takes care of a lot of city services, you are getting to that 10% cash reserve. Okay, page 14 is the Motor Vehicle Highway Fund. This year, you did have to split this fund out to a restricted and a non-restricted. The reason why you had to do that is because the state is requiring you to spend 50% of your motor vehicle highway state distributed revenue on road projects. Really, that's the bottom line. For purposes of illustration, we've combined those two funds, and that's kind of how you've seen it in the past, just one MVH fund, but I know that on the books it's two separate funds. You can see that the operating receipts on line 12 for 2020 is $3.765 million. Your operating disbursements for the same time period on line 22 is about $4.1 million. So you are overspending your receipts. However, there's a big ticket item of paving projects in there of $1.2 million. We tend to get pretty excited if your recurring costs exceed the receipts. When I say recurring, like salaries and wages, benefits, health insurance. If you continually do that year after year, then you're going to get into a situation to where you can't fund your budgets any longer. Since you have such a large chunk of stuff in capital, which is more or less one-time expenditures, although I know you'll continually have paving projects, we don't get too excited about overspending the receipts. We know that you'll have to do that sometimes. That's the point. So you come down to line 33, ending cash. and we project it to be about 21,000. We would recommend going out into the future, like in 2021, to increase the property tax levy on this fund, which we did in this projection to help those reserves. Moving on to page number 15, which is the local road and street fund, this fund also gets state distributed revenue. On line 2, you can see the receipts are $855,000. On line 10, you have disbursements of nearly $1.4 million. Your cash balance in this fund is high enough to be able to withstand that type of a budget. You will still end, if you spend that entire budget, you would still end with about a 32% cash reserve and $465,000. Now, you couldn't do that every year, obviously, but we know that you have some projects and things that need to be done. Page number 16 is the Park and Rec Fund. On line 11, total receipts for 2020, $2.8 million. You can see that that's perfectly balanced with the disbursements on line 20. The reason why is because we assume that the city will allocate enough property tax to fully fund this budget with zero net cash flow. In other words, you're just allocating enough property tax to cover the expenses. With that, at the end of 2020, you should have a cash reserve of about 30%, which is $837,000. Page 17 is the cemetery fund. Operating receipts on line 11, about $645,000. Again, we've balanced this to the disbursements of $645,000. Again, assuming the city will just allocate enough property tax to fund the budget. At the end of 2020, there should be about a 42% cash reserve in this fund with $273,000. Page number 18 is your new Public Safety Local Income Tax Fund. So this is from the revenue is being generated from the 0.3% of local income tax recently adopted by the county. Fortunately, that income tax is going up for 2020. It's $2.1 million is what we're projecting. The budget is projected at $1.8 million, so you have a better-than-balanced budget. You're able to add to your cash reserves in case you have any capital public safety items that may come up in the future, so you're building your reserves there. At the end of 2020, you should have a 41% cash reserve and $764,000. Page 19 is your Economic Development Local Income Tax. This income tax or this revenue stream is also projected to go up in 2020 to $5.2 million. That's on line number 2. So that's your total revenues. Your operating disbursements on line 17 is nearly $5.7 million. So you are projected to spend down some of your cash reserves in that fund. However, at the end of 2020, you should have about a 62% cash reserve and about $3.5 million at the end of 2020. Transportation Fund, page 20. Line 11 receipts are projected at almost $3 million. This is also, we also had this balanced exactly to the disbursements by just allocating enough property tax just to fund the budget. You should end 2020 with about a 10% cash reserve, which is about $302,000. Page 21, receipts are the trash contractual payment, which is on line 2, which is the user fee, $2.55 million. The payment, the contractual payment, is estimated to be about $2.45 million. So you have a better than balance as it's proposed now. You should add about $100,000 to your cash reserve, provided those user fees come in where we expect them to. So you should end 2020 with a 42% cash reserve, which is a little over $1 million. The next two funds continue to show deficits. These are your two, the Holman Links and the Ray Park funds. So on 22 is the Holman Links. The estimated receipts for this fund for 2020 is about $462,000. However, your budget, which hasn't really changed that much, in fact, it's gone down, is $674,000. There is a deficit there of about $200,000, really, per year. So that continues to be negative, that fund, and that is driving down some of your operating funds, or all of your operating funds, really. Ray Park is the next one, page 23. Miscellaneous receipts for 2020 are estimated at $376,000. Disbursements, $572,000. Has roughly the same type of deficit per year in that fund. So those were the funds I wanted to cover tonight. The rest of the report is some of your special smaller revenue funds and then some supporting documentation towards the end. I'd be happy to take any questions at this time.
Any questions for Paige? Yeah, real quick.
Yes. Paige, pages 5 and 6.
Yes.
Are the cash balances of these selected operating funds, does it include all the same funds that are reflected on page 6?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if the balances dropped that much, but the expenditures didn't change very much,
right,
that means the revenues had to drop a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so really this is in direct relation to the circuit breaker credits. Your circuit breaker credits are continually increasing. So again, you levy more and more every year, but those circuit breaker losses keep going up every year so that your net property taxes aren't changing hardly at all. Look at I'm on page number 3. If you look at 2018, you collected $23.5 million in property tax. In 2019, we're projecting $23.6 million. That's hardly an increase, although you did get an increase. I think the growth factor was 3.5% in your property tax levy. So you're able to levy 3.5% higher. You just don't collect that much because of the property tax credits.
Okay. But, I mean, I'm looking back at, like, the 2012 balance, $5,891,000. The 2015, a minus $11,309,000. That's a significant drop, and then if I take those balances, force the revenue, subtract the expense from page 6 to get me the balance at the end of the next year, I think I'm going to see significant drops in the total revenue of all these funds.
Well, I can tell you that in 2012, there's a temporary loan that's making that cash balance look artificially high on page number 5. So really, there was a temporary loan that came in 12 but wasn't repaid in 12. So I guess if you kind of leveled that out,
okay,
it wouldn't look like that.
Loan activity.
Yes, there's loans coming in and out that's causing fluctuations.
Thank you. That puts it in perspective for me. I yield.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, thanks for this overview. I look forward to spending some more time with all this. But while we've got you here, page 14, which is that combined MVH fund and restricted MVH fund, on line 12, just in general, I see these creeping up, and then for 2020, it dips by about $90,000, and then it starts creeping up again. I'm talking about mm-hmm. operating receipts. Can you tell me why that's happening?
Yes, absolutely, and I should have pointed this out as I was going through it. If you look on line 8, motor vehicle highway distribution, you probably heard on the news recently that the state made an error with the City of Indianapolis's calculation for motor vehicle highway distribution.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to correct that error for 2020. What that means for all of the rest of the municipalities in the state is an estimated 8% decrease in your state distributed motor vehicle highway distribution. So if you look, your distribution on line 8 is going to go down by over 200,000. I think it's roughly 220,000. Hopefully, we won't see any further decreases, but that is exactly why your revenue is going down for 2020.
Okay, thanks for that explanation. I did see that article, but I didn't relate it to this. Next, on page 21, which is the Waste and Refuse Collection Fund, I see in 2019 our operating receipts were significantly higher than 2018 and what's projected for 2020. Can you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. So my understanding is 2019 received collections that were actually from previous years. It was a catch-up. Somehow, I think there was a billing issue or something, and it was a catch-up. So you're actually receiving more from past years. But after that, we're projecting it should just be about $2.6 million per year, or $2.5
Mayor Bennett, is that what Brad Spidell briefed us on?
Yeah, some of that was past when we collected.
Right.
Yeah.
Some past due. So we're pretty much caught up. We won't have any big fluctuations as we move forward.
So we've collected as much of that past due money as we're going to get.
Most people are paying as they go, so we're not getting behind that.
Okay. And then the one last thing, when I look at the golf courses specifically, with Ray Park and Pullman Links, we look great up until that point. And then we're hundreds of percentage of differences. And I note that as you've tried to project forward, you're projecting the same revenue, just I guess because you have to come up with some number, across. It looks like you just took 2019's number and repeated it across 20, 21, 22, 23. And then when I go to the bottom of that, I see that our ending cash balances, even though those projections stay the same, our ending cash balances continue to grow in the negative, going over $500,000 a year for Holman Links in 2022, and going you've done the same thing with Ray Park, taking the 2019 revenue number out in your projections to 2023. But then when I look at the end, those numbers keep growing and get up over $2 million a year to the negative in 2022. What should we do to get ourselves out of that hole?
Well, I know in the past we've discussed a few options. One option is to increase your fees, but will that make you be not competitive anymore so nobody will use the golf course? Another option is to perhaps sell the golf course, and then another option is just to close it down. I do realize how much of a burden that this is putting on the city, but we can only provide you with the options, and then you need to decide what is the best course of action.
And those are all three bad options.
I understand. I'm sorry, I don't have better options.
There's an opportunity with a potential casino coming to our community related to revenue, especially for Holman Links, that I think is going to make a big difference there. So that's an option. That's just another option.
So what would that look like?
Revenue that's coming in from the casino that they would utilize that as one of their amenities as part of their package. So there'd be a fee that they would pay us. A lot of places do that. So that would be part of our negotiations.
Okay. For now, that's all I've got. Again, thanks for walking us through this. I look forward to spending more time with it. I yield.
I just wanted to point out that the mayor just said the word opportunity for Don Hyde to hear that. Did you catch that? Good job. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Paige.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We may have more questions for you later.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Any other thing, Mayor, that you want to do now? Okay, thank you. Any other reports from city officials? I don't think so.
No.
Reports from Board of Public Works and Safety?
I don't believe there are any.
I don't believe there are any reports from standing committees. Yes, Earl, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a document that
I even knew you gave
maps out in front of you. Yeah. It's the updated unemployment report that the state puts out. It came today. I want to talk about the chart that's at the bottom of the first page. The columns, as you read across there, are the different areas that they provide these numbers for, the size of the labor force, the number of people employed in those areas, the number unemployed, then the unemployment rate, the current unemployment rate for August 2019 compared to the prior month and then the same month of the prior year. If you look at the August 19 column, you'll see the U.S. unemployment rate 3.8, Indiana 3.2, the economic growth region that we're in that's defined in the upper right of that corner at 4.0, the Terre Haute MSA 4.0, then the individual counties in the economic growth region, and finally the city of Terre Haute. We've got discussion in a referendum on the casino. They're touting 400 jobs related to that. If we look at the Terre Haute unemployment rate of 4.6%, if I just make an estimate that 200 of those jobs are filled by Terre Haute residents, that reduces that unemployment rate by 0.8% to 3.8. If we look at the county's numbers and assume 300 of those jobs are filled by county residents, which would include Terre Haute, that would drop the county's unemployment rate to 3.4. That's what those chicken scratches are at the bottom that are intended to provide the details to that. I happened to mention that to Mr. Witt this afternoon during a phone call, and that he reminded me of Saturn Pet Care, 200 jobs that are coming, Pyrolex, another 50 for their second plant. You add those three numbers up, that's a 650 potential, you know, new jobs, which using the Vigo County labor workforce at 48,468, that's 1.34% of the county labor force. So point is, 400 jobs is a lot of jobs. That's what we need to remember and recognize. So, and then the last page, I know it's hard to read. I don't know why they make this, you know, so darn small. I need to find one of our techies to see if they can blow that up. But it's got the unemployment rates by for each county that is in the state. And boy, the donut counties around Indianapolis, some of those pretty darn low. So, with that, unless anyone has any questions, we'll move on.
Earl, do you or Mayor Bennett or anybody else know if we've absorbed the blow of the loss of Sony yet? Where are they in the number of jobs that they used to have? Is that down as low as it's going to go? Or
they still got about 250 plus people, but at some point they won't be there.
Down from?
Probably 800 was the last number, I would say.
In 18, three years ago.
Before they had their big layoff.
So these numbers reflect the blow that we
had, that we
took, most of them anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was the one thing that, in my mind, you know, I think, okay, so all of these potential or in the pipeline gains that are coming, what are in the pipeline losses.
And you don't know.
Well,
what that one might be.
Yeah.
I hear you. That we want to avoid those,
of course,
and add to the potential gain side. So.
I guess although it's bad news, I'm relieved that the 550 or so jobs that are now gone from Sony are reflected in these numbers already. That's it would be bad if they weren't. Okay, thank you. I yield.
Any other questions for? Comments? Anything else, Earl? Okay, thank you. Any other standing committees?
There are none.
Any from non-standing committees?
There are none.
I don't believe we have anything previously tabled.
Nope. So,
next item of business.
Resolution 11, 2019, designating an area within Terre Haute, Indiana, commonly identified as 200-228 South 6th Street, Terre Haute, Indiana, as an economic revitalization area for the purpose of an 8-year real property tax abatement. This is for confirmation.
Petitioner.
Good evening, Madam President, fellow members of the Council, Mr. Mayor, Madam Clerk. My name is Richard Shagley. I'm with the law firm Wright, Shagley & Lowry, and tonight I'm here before you again representing the petitioner, 200 South 6th Street, LLC. I think we've discussed this. In my time of coming before this council, I think we've discussed this more than any other tax abatement in the history of the ones I've attended. And in my history of attending these meetings, I've never seen one this low. We're talking $10,000 over 8 years. That's it. And that doesn't include they'll still continue to pay the current property taxes. It's just the increase, which is a total of $10,000 over 8 years. That's why we're here tonight. That's not the only reason we're here tonight. As previously stated, I also told myself I wouldn't hound on the 40 number, the 40 live, 40 families we're going to affect. I think instead I'll just keep hammering that 10,000. Groups come before you and come to our community asking for a lot, whether it's tax abatements, whatever it is. And Commonwealth through 200 South 6th Street is no different. They're coming to you for, as we've discussed, a piece of the puzzle. And that piece, this is a small piece to get the big ticket net tax credits. Commonwealth through 200 South 6th Street is wanting to bring $10 million of construction money to our community. With that comes a lot of jobs, a lot of local jobs. As you may recall, we went over the list last I guess it was last month. There's been a couple of developments. There's been some letter of intent sent out for this work. For instance, Dennis Trucking received a letter of intent regarding the demolition and the site earthwork and excavating trucking. As you are aware, Dennis Trucking is a great local contractor. It's a union contractor employing local residents for that work. A letter of intent has also gone out to Central States, which is another contractor that's for the plumbing work. Central States is another great local contractor, a union contractor employing local people. There is also two other packages, the HVAC and the electrical, which Commonwealth is working with some local contractors, as we discussed last month. The numbers weren't coming in where needed, so conversations have started with Central States, who, as I mentioned, has a letter of intent for the plumbing, and it appears will have a similar offer on the HVAC and the electrical. Those are those two entities, that represents about approximately $2 million of that $10 million to those two contractors. Those are big pieces of the work going to good local union contractors. It's great to have local contractors. In my opinion, it's even better to have union contractors. I look at some previous projects. This council gave a tax abatement, I believe, to the Lighthouse Mission project, if I'm not mistaken. A very similar project to this, except for this was not located in downtown Terre Haute. But if you look at the work at that project, they're not local contractors. I sat through those meetings. That group didn't get the scrutiny. But my client, petitioner here, they're delivering on trying to help Terre Haute and the local economy. Not only are they bringing $10 million worth of outside money to our community, but they're hiring local quality contractors. And I don't think you could ask for more. I don't think you could ask for more in a project. I think the interesting part of this will be, if you ask someone in your seat in another community, would you give up $10,000 over 8 years for a $10 million investment in your community to support your local contractors and to rehab a building that's been sitting vacant for 13 years? Would you make that trade? Would you give up $10,000 over 8 years for $10 million investment, local contractors, and saving a building that's been vacant for 13 years? A building that, as we discussed, that I've discussed, that other entities have walked through and said, no thanks, and went and did a project somewhere else. Fortunately, some of those projects happen in our community. But, we are very fortunate in where we are today. As been discussed and has been mentioned, the casino possibility, bless you, the casino possibilities is tremendous, I think, for our community. The convention center is phenomenal for our community. I've heard some different comments. Wendy Bennett, when she was coming to the meetings in opposition to this, at one point talked about even playing field. Well, any one of us could have done what Commonwealth's doing if you're willing to work at it. Anyone in this community could have put together that package, but no one has done that for whatever reason. And we've got some great developers in this community, but no one has taken on that challenge. Fortunately, they've looked at other areas, but this building's been left alone. I've heard, maybe there's a better use for this building. With Convention Center coming in, that's going to spark growth. And I believe that. Just like tearing down the Terre Haute House. I didn't like seeing that go. But when that went and that hotel built, we now have a children's museum. We've got two hotels downtown. More restaurants than we've had in a long time. We've got more downtown than we've had in a long time. And I think you can attribute a lot to that to the Terre Haute House coming down. So will the convention center have that same effect? I don't know. I hope so. But the why, keep in mind, is closer to the Terre Haute House than it is to the new convention center. So if the Terre Haute House didn't spark the why redevelopment, why do we think the convention center will? Now, that being said, as I stated at the last meeting, in speaking to one of the owners of 200 South 6th Street LLC, I don't believe he would allow this building to be torn down. If that was the case, there could be an argument made for a better use. But, that hasn't happened in the last 13 years, and I don't foresee that while that gentleman's living. So is there a better use? I don't know, but this is a pretty good use. We're turning it into 40 units to affect 40 families in our community and give them affordable quality housing that we are short of. So, it's hard. I can't sit here and speculate, in 5 years if maybe there's a better use, but you could say that about any project that comes before you. You just have to weigh the factors. And is this project worth giving up $10,000 over 8 years for all that we're going to get? We know that's going to happen. You pass on this on the thought that there's a better use down the road. That may not come for 30 years. But we know by passing this tonight that $10 million of construction money is going to come into our community. Local, good jobs are going to be had. And all for $10,000. I would take that return every time. Every time. The vendors, I applaud Commonwealth and their team for their willingness to work and continue to work with different vendors. And one of those is here tonight, Central States. Is here tonight. They're working with them. They're working with many others in trying to get local opportunity. We've had situations where we've invited good local contractors to bid, and they've said, no thanks. And I think a lot of that's attributable to the fact that we have some big projects coming, and it's just a matter of manpower. And the other thing is, and I hope my client doesn't hear this, but you've seen, I don't know if you've been to this building, but this isn't an easy project. There's a reason this building's been empty. There's a reason others have passed, and we're lucky that Commonwealth's here tonight and wanting to do this project. Not only are they working with our local contractors, but I also applaud the willingness. Todd Thacker here is this evening. He's a business manager for local IBEW 725, and I applaud their willingness to work with him. He's working with them, working with the contractors, and trying to find a way to make this project go, and working on the numbers and whatnot. We've had we kind of had a bad stigma, I think, for a while with unions and whatnot. But this is a clear example of that times have changed and the philosophy and the mentality has changed. And they're willing and are working to help developers, to help contractors to secure this work so it's local. It stays local, and that $10 million stays in the hands of as many local contractors as possible. But again, none of their effort, none of that matters if they don't get an 8-year tax abatement for approximately $10,000 total over 8 years. I have a few more comments, but I'd like to wait and allow Kevin to come up and speak. Mr. Kluckner is going to speak as well tonight, and then Mr. Thacker. So if you could just bear with me and allow us to further explain why we believe this is a good project for all of us. So thank you.
I think Richard stole all my comments, so I won't be long. But, I guess all I could say is, I work in a lot of different communities across Wisconsin and Indiana, and I run into very few opportunities like this. Usually it's the other way around. When there's a building like this, the communities are knocking on our door asking us to come in to help save this building. So, the building is in rough or up shape. If we don't act now, the building is not going to be there for anyone to save. There's time you'll talk about why this building's historically important. I hope no one on the council wants to lose this building. It's truly a treasure. We're not going to see another building built like this. There's a reason why there's a historic tax credit that has bipartisan support, because it saves important buildings in our communities and keeps each community unique. And we can look back on that history of the building, and a lot of people have took swimming lessons in that building and take great pride in seeing that building saved. So I hope you will consider a request tonight favorably.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the council. I'm Tommy Kleckner, Director of Indiana Landmarks Western Regional Office, located at 669 Ohio Street. From previous meetings, you know Indiana Landmarks supports the proposed redevelopment of the historic YMCA building and the resolution before you. With confirmation of this resolution, you have the opportunity to move forward a project that will see millions of dollars invested in a National Register listed building that, as Mr. Shagley has indicated, has been vacant for 13 years now. I urge you to take the action tonight that will help this building become a symbol again. When it opened in 1940 as a new YMCA facility, it was a symbol of the resilience of the city of Terre Haute. It was coming out of the depths of the Great Depression. With passage of this resolution, you have the opportunity for this building to be a symbol of your commitment to the preservation of this community's rich history and architectural heritage, a symbol of your commitment to the provision of quality, affordable housing, not just within the community, but particularly downtown, and a symbol of your commitment to the continued revitalization of downtown Terre Haute as a center for economic and cultural vitality. Thank you.
Good evening, Steve Witt, Department of Redevelopment. Just wanted to share a few thoughts that I have. I've had the opportunity to work on a lot of difficult projects in the community. I was involved in the Terre Haute House and one last-ditch effort to issue an RFP to see who would be interested in possibly doing that project. I worked long and hard on the property that's now Elanco at First and Holman Street. Most recently, the Pfizer property. And I think if I could draw a parallel in all three of those cases, one never knows when the next opportunity is going to come along. In the case of the Terre Haute House, by the time I was involved in it, I would say the opportunity to rehab that facility from a sound physical standpoint was probably 10 years past. In regard to Elanco, if the previous owner, a company called Kimgen, didn't come and look at it, after we had people come from all over the world to literally came and look at that building, it would probably be sitting vacant or demolished today. In the case of the Pfizer property, again, we had people from all over the world come in and look at that property. If Saturn Pet Care hadn't come along, that building would have been done. It sat 10 years without heating, cooling, that sort of thing. So I, too, have struggled with, well, perhaps, you know, with a new convention center and so on, it'd be cool to see a nice, shiny new building there or something like that. But quite frankly, I doubt that's going to happen. And if this opportunity comes along and passes, I don't know if there's not ever going to be another one. In 13 years of the building being vacant, I don't know anybody seriously looked at it. But this could be our last opportunity. And as Richard pointed out, I haven't looked at the numbers since recently in regard to the tax abatement projections, but $10,000 over 8 years versus a $10 million investment, you know, it seems like an easy thing to decision to make. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Todd Thacker with electricians at 46 and Holman. So I came to listen to this the last time you talked about it and tried to listen and learn and ask some questions and find out. And I was happy to see that five of you were in support of it at that time. And since then, I have worked with the Commonwealth and tried to get some union contractors, through his word tonight, opportunities to get the job. And it's been, we've had some success with it. And I've reached out to a couple of you, and I can't see how anybody can't see the math in this. That's just me. Last time I was here was a responsible bidding ordinance, and I see a couple of you still here. And I say, I know some of you are leaving. It's not an easy job being on city council, I'm sure. And I try to get educated about it before I speak about an issue. My kids also... We learned to swim there. And for 25 years, we lived here in Terre Haute area, and we moved away and just been back a couple months now. And so to see what some other cities are doing and revitalizing is beneficial too. So I'm glad to see the effort that's going in the convention center and going with the casino. We're supporting it. The Children's Museum came to the building trades. And we're trying to raise $35,000 for them to have a really neat display why they can watch the convention center come out of the ground with building trades and its career paths. And, you know, we have our apprenticeship building at 950 Ohio Street. We have 140 apprentices that attend apprenticeship school in Terre Haute here. They're coming from all over our 15 counties to come to Terre Haute. So, you know, I see that this is a... the housing opportunity. I've talked to some of you. There's not long-term jobs as much as maybe a factory. I get that. But we also need affordable housing. And so I know the numbers that we're looking at, the 40 people or 93 lives. But, you know, for my aspect of it, I'm looking at the construction jobs and what we have. The infusion of $10 million is what the number I look at. And I talked to the building trades, and I got some of them to get a hold of them. They got a hold of Richard and got a hold of Commonwealth, and we had a contractor that decided to pass on it. But at least he was given that opportunity. And we're at the Lighthouse Mission, I didn't get an opportunity. And we didn't get that work. But I had just come back, and so maybe if I had gotten in front of that, I could have gotten a better shot at it. So all I'm asking you is, for whatever your reasons are, and if you've got a better use for it and you got $10 million laying around, I'm great. Let's do it. You know, I would love to see every time you guys gave any kind of incentive, we got something for it, like a responsible bidding. Attach that to it. Let's make sure they're good jobs, good construction jobs that are paying wages and benefits, and people are local and they're putting the money stays here. You know, I would love to see that, but and this is the best case I think we can get out of this one. It's better than the deal I think you gave with the Lighthouse Mission, in my opinion. So thanks for your time, and I hope you consider passing this referendum. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Tony Sanders. I'm with Central State Construction. I'm on the board of the Chamber of Commerce in Marshall, and we are members, just a little bit about Central State, and we are members of the Chamber of Commerce in Terre Haute. I've got to hear Duke Bennett speak at one of our events here a year or so ago, and that was really nice. And I've got to listen to your new superintendent. He came and spoke at one of our events that we had, and he educated us a little bit, like on school systems and how all that stuff works. And this is where I'm going with that. You guys have heard, you know, about the 40 apartments. And if you put one, there's a total of 93 beds. So if you put a person in every one of those beds, that's 93 people. And I may be a little low on my number, but if you put one student in every one of those apartments, you would have, let's just say 40 students. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, he told me that you guys get that the county gets around $6,000 to $6,200 a student. That's $250,000 a year, guys, just going in your, back into your school systems. That's the stuff that, that's the impact that something like this has. It has an impact far bigger than just housing. It impacts your school systems. It impacts, it's definitely going to impact the community. We buy, all of our material comes from your local vendors. I mean, we live in Marshall, Illinois. There's nobody to buy materials from. So all of our materials that we use in our construction come from Terre Haute, Indiana. So you're not talking about just homes. You're talking about opportunities for your school systems. It's big. I mean, $250,000 a year. In 4 years, that's $1 million, you know. That's huge. I would just ask, and I'm on the chamber at Marshall, and I know how tough it is to get these opportunities. It's hard. They don't come along every day. They don't. But the impact on your community is huge. I would just ask that you look at it from maybe that angle, okay? I mean, you're saying I'm a contractor and we just want the work. No, it's bigger than that. So I would just ask that you would take that into consideration.
We've been in front of you four times, in those four meetings we've had one person in opposition. Me personally, I feel very fortunate because I've been in situations where that's not the case, and I have 20 or 30. That person didn't even come tonight. And it's also, I am fortunate enough that apparently I'm accessible enough that people will call me at my office and tell me that I'm doing something bad or that the project's bad. I also... In theory, I like to believe that I wouldn't bring something in front of you that was bad. And I think in my history of this, we may not have always agreed, but I think for the most part, I wouldn't put you in a situation to make you to request, to ask, beg, whatever it is, to do something bad for this community. And when it comes to this project, I can't think of one of something I've been in front of you on that was so simple. I almost wanted somebody to call and try to defend or to convince me this was a bad idea. This is an 8-year tax abatement, which is low considering generally they're 10. A vast majority of the abatements given out by this council is 10 years. A super high percentage are big numbers. This is the smallest tax abatement that you'll probably ever have in front of you. It's $10,000. Over 8 years. You're still going to collect property taxes that they're paying now. It's just for 8 years you're not going to get $10,000. In exchange for that, we're going to bring $10 million in and be spent with local contractors in rehabbing a building that sat vacant for 13 years. That no one else has come up with a better use for. But thankfully, Commonwealth, teaming up with 200 South 6th Street, have a vision for this property. And looking at their other projects, I'm excited about that, the possibilities. I would imagine I'll have the same shock and awe of the first time I walked into the Icon building. How long had that building sat there? And you think, what are we ever going to do with that? and they turned that into beautiful housing. And I don't know why this project would be any different. And I think not approving this project would be detrimental to our community. And I hope that you consider the passage of this ordinance in allowing the 8-year tax abatement. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Why don't you take comments from the public first?
Sure.
If you don't mind, Mr. Shagley, and then we'll come back to you. Questions. If there's anyone from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 11, 2019, please state your name and address as you come to the microphone.
My name is Donald Wayne Hyde, and I'm really getting tired of the pessimism that I'm hearing about that building. That building could stand another 40 years without much being done to it. Now, granted, it wouldn't pique a lot of arrogant people's thing, but it's not going to fall down and be a safety hazard. That building was built and is still in the condition. The ground floor and the basement is a fallout shelter, for God's sakes. You could drop bombs on that building, blow it up, and the basement would still be there. That's how well it was built. I don't question, could it be turned into apartments? No, I don't question that at all. It could be. Problem is, are they good enough to do it? I have not heard or seen plans that I believe they are capable of doing. Because you got to watch how you treat that building. It's not an easy project. And I'm not sure they're good enough to do it. Put that aside, though. As far as that building, if it was fixed and all of the problems were done, there's no doubt in my mind it'll stand another 100 years. And I'm an artist and I've studied architecture. I know what I'm talking about. I know you don't believe me, but I do. There's no doubt about it. But here's the more important question. This really is. That is one of the most historic buildings in all of Terre Haute, Indiana. And so whoever fixes that building has to respect that. It's got to look the same. It's got to look better than it was. The people who redid the school up north on 25th and 4th Avenue made that school look better than it did the day it was opened. But it looks like the school it once was. Its history was preserved. The only thing I'd say to you is whoever fixes that building, they'll have something. But they've got to respect the job they're going to have doing to do it. And also, and the reason I say this, I have not yet heard anybody tell me how they're going to get around the pool and the gym. The structure of the building, the walls, have to be left alone. If you start messing around and pulling out and tearing down stuff, you make the wrong move somewhere, then part of that building is going to start caving in. As it sits right now, if you respect the building, it'll stand. And I believe if you fix up all the little problems, redo the roof good, get the heating down right and everything else, I meant what I said. If it don't last another 100 years, then you didn't do a good job. That's how well built that building is. But more importantly is the history of the building. You've got to keep it looking like it is. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak on Resolution 11? Please come to the podium.
I'm Joe Sullivan. I'm a current principal partner that owns the building. I've outlined my thoughts. If I could pass... Over a decade ago, I was approached by a gentleman in town with a great deal of interest in the historic preservation of fine architecture from the past. And so I agreed with him, and I put up a majority of the money to buy the building to save it from the wrecking ball. And we've had great ideas to fix it up, but between the two of us, we didn't have the TMT, the time, the talent, and the money to do it ourselves. So my associate sought out Commonwealth, which is not just any company can do this. Mr. Shagley is sort of representing Commonwealth, but he misstated himself when he said that any contractor in town could do this job. Not so. This is a historic restitution project with state support. To even apply to get state support for this, you have to meet a certain criteria to be a qualified bidder. Commonwealth put in a bid a couple of years ago. We tied for last place of the bids that were accepted that year, and we lost the draw. So I was willing to go around another year. This year we got it right off the top. But Commonwealth is a virtually unique situation to save this building. Over the years, my associate and I have struggled to keep it from deteriorating faster than nature would have it do. And we are so glad to have Commonwealth available to do this project. However, the $10 million that Commonwealth may get from the state is not just automatic. It also requires some showing of community support. Now, I have supported it myself personally by being willing to sell it to Commonwealth for $800,000 when the building is assessed for $1.1 million, which is not quite as much as what I have put into it to save it from the wrecking ball. So I am making a considerable personal contribution, I would say, far greater than what this tax abatement is. But also, to consider the amount of revenue lost by the tax abatement is fairly minuscule compared to the proposition that this building cannot be brought back to life on economic basis alone. It requires the state support to get it done. This is the one opportunity to do this. If this doesn't get done, my option, hanging on to this building, which could be an attractive nuisance and a liability to me if anybody gets in there and gets hurt, my economic choice would have to be to tear the building down. And even in the time that it would take to tear the building down, I would have to go to the tax assessment board and say, you've got this assessed at $1.1 million, and I couldn't sell it for $800,000 because we didn't have community support enough to give a $10,000 tax abatement. I think that the property is overvalued. You're going to have to lower the assessment. And once the building is torn down, what's the lot worth? Less than $100,000 by comparison with similar properties very close by that are vacant lots that are assessed at less than what this property would be. So on the tax revenue grounds alone, this is a very good investment. Once this project is completed, the assessment for a 40-unit building for residential is generally over $2 million. So you compare a tax assessment of $2 million to a $100,000 tax assessment for a vacant lot. That's like a 95% tax abatement. It would go on indefinitely. How many lots do we have in the city that have been sitting vacant for a decade? On tax abatement alone, that is the tax revenue alone, the abatement is a very, very good bargain compared to not giving it. Now, just a couple of caveats. There have been comments made to the effect that some labor union has applied some sort of a pressure to not grant this tax abatement. But we've seen labor here talking in support of this. Whatever labor leader may be left opposed to it should be ignored, because whoever is influenced by that needs to say to this labor person, whoever he is, you will understand why I voted for this as opposed to taking your advice to vote against it, because it will be a very valuable project for labor as well as for the community economically, and the preservation of this historic jewel, which a couple of years ago, the Indiana Landmarks organization put this on the list of the 10 most endangered landmarks in the state. This is a unique opportunity. This is an opportunity in which the city council should vote unanimously to approve this tax abatement in order to show the support that's needed for Commonwealth to be able to go to the state and say, we've got community support. Go ahead and give us our $10 million. Don't hold it up because of lack of community support. There's one other little issue that should be considered as well. It's been my understanding that one or more city council members has rental property interests, and they feel that a tax abatement is an unfair competition to them. The problem is that in a historic restitution, there are costs that go beyond the costs of ordinary building project. You can't just put the cheapest hardware up. You have to find historic matching hardware and windows and doors and things like this. It raises the cost. And that's why a historic restitution both requires and deserves some subsidy, but not a subsidy which unfairly competes. People who live in this place are going to have to pay rent and are not going to affect the value of the rental property that members of the city council own. If there's any member of the city council who wants to vote against this because they have a personal conflict of interest, you should rather consider to abstain than to stand up in public showing your personal interest over the public interest. I believe that the council should vote unanimously to support this project to show community support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 11, 2019? Okay. If not, I'll open it to council for comments or questions.
I'll begin. Last month, based upon the new information that came out that day at that meeting, I wanted more time to think about this. And as a result, I made that comment. Councilman Nation mentioned, well, you can vote for it, and then you can evaluate it because it has to come back for affirmation, I think is the term. And here we are. Now, I've done that and given a lot of thought to this, and some of the conclusions that I reached are we really don't have any idea what the taxes are going to be on that property going forward. It's to be calculated under the income approach. They gave us a pro forma calculation, but any change in any of those numbers can lead to a different result, including a change in the capitalization rate that's used to make this calculation. And we just don't know, you know, what that's going to be. We think this abatement is $10,000 per year, but we really don't have any idea. The comment, you know, was made that, you know, it's a very small abatement. You know, why should that give us any problem? Well, I think the resulting taxes to be paid, $37,000 a year on a $10 million project, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Those are ridiculous. That's a ridiculously low amount. And I've been trying to sort that out in my mind. Why is that? And it finally dawned on me that there's like $8 million or more of low-income housing tax credits that are going to be sold to help this property, and the proceeds from those housing credits are not included in the revenue in this income approach calculation. And those are some pretty significant numbers to me, and I don't understand why, you know, why they aren't. I don't care to understand why. I just, that's what dawned on me since last month, and I yield.
Earl, there are just two quick things. First, $10,000 a year is what you said that this was going to cost?
No, that's what they said.
$10,000 over 8.
I don't have any idea what it's going to be.
Right.
We don't. Nobody knows what it's going to be.
These are all estimates. Everything we're talking about are estimates. I acknowledge that. But my point is that the value of this 8-year tax abatement as projected is not $10,000 a year. It's $10,000 total over 8 years. So that's just all I'm doing is saying that based on the projections that we're talking about, that's a correction that I would offer. The other one is your realization that the $8 million in tax credits aren't included in the cost. That's true. But if this project doesn't go, those $8 million, this is a tax credit program that's offered by the federal government, administered by state governments. They'll just go to another. It's not like those taxes don't get collected. It's not like that money does not get spent. It just doesn't get spent here. So I'll yield for now on that. I'll yield to Richard if you want to make
it. Comment on that, Richard?
Yeah, so I wouldn't begin to stand up here and argue numbers with Mr. Elliott. But as far as the state, the assessments could change, you know, it's an estimate. Absolutely. Every abatement that comes before you, when it comes to property, you don't know in 10 years, you know, maybe the convention center does all the property values downtown go up, and that changes the numbers. But ultimately, it all goes back to 8-year tax abatement. That's all we're asking for. Our projections is it's $10,000 over 8 years. The comment that's small, absolutely this is small. But I think the message that it will be sent if this is voted down is huge. And I think it'd be hard to explain to someone. So you gave up $10 million because you didn't want to give up. You wanted to collect $10,000 in tax. You know, you're worried about $10,000 in taxes over 8 years. Explain that to the people in our community. I think Councilman Nation hit it on the head when he said spent here. You know, if the council says no tonight, and that $8 million tax rate doesn't just go away, it will go to another community who didn't get it in this cycle. It's going to go to another community, and that money is going to be spent in another community. Tonight, you can vote in favor of this 8-year tax abatement for $10,000. I just hope you can take that consideration. 8 years, $10,000 total. And one thing that was brought up about the school children. I have a child at North Eagle High School, then I drive. I drop him off, and I come into town. And we have a lot of people in our community that are living in substandard housing. And I don't like when I get railroaded. I don't like to sit. I keep going left. That's how I do it. And with that, I travel down different roads about 3 times a week because I get railroaded about 3 times a week. And you see kids walking to school, and you see kids walking from places, and you think, you know, life's tough as it is, but leaving some of these homes and coming back to these homes is just an incredible burden that these kids have in an already difficult situation. And this project, you know, who knows? How do you know? Talk about a number you can't estimate. How do you know how it would affect those 40 kids growing up in a safe, clean, affordable housing, that they can go home and know that it's safe, that the heating works, that the water works, that when you flip the switch, the lights come on. Who knows the ramifications long term on those 40 kids? But I would bet, it's a positive. I bet it's going to make a tremendous impact on citizens in our community. And all we have to do is give up $10,000 over 8 years.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on council who'd like to comment?
I was just going to add one point that I don't think has been mentioned. You know, if there's a better use, even if there were, all right, great, the convention center gets done. There are a ton of lots surrounding this that same use that is someone thinks is better. This development is just going to support whatever that use is. So I just ask you to consider that.
Thank you.
I think that's a good point. This isn't the last lot in downtown.
Chris, did you have your hand up?
Madam President,
yes.
If there's no further discussion, I move for approval of, well, actually it's not approval, it's confirmation of resolution number 11, 2019. Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and seconded by Councilperson Garrison, I really apologize, that we affirm Resolution 11-2019.
Madam President?
Yes.
Could I request a roll call, please?
Yes. Roll call requested. Michelle?
Councilperson Aller?
No.
Councilperson Azar?
No.
Councilperson DeBon?
Yes.
Councilperson Elliott?
No.
Councilperson Garrison?
Yes.
Councilperson Morris?
No.
Councilperson Nassar?
No.
Councilperson Nation?
Yes.
Councilperson Crofton?
Yes.
That's 4 yes, 5 no.
Thank you very much.
I don't think we have any other items.
I'm sorry, you need to state that it was defeated.
I'm sorry, I thought I did. The motion is defeated. Apologize. I don't believe we have any other items on second reading?
No.
Okay. Now we're going to switch this up just a little bit. I'm going to suggest that we take up, with the approval of other council persons, that we take up Special Ordinance 22 on first reading, and then we have a very short break and go to the budget. Is that agreeable to those around the table? Okay. So I would ask that, Michelle, if you would move to Special Ordinance 22.
Special Ordinance 22-2019, rezoning of property located at 1425 East Pew Drive. Area planning did not meet, and this must be continued until after they have their next meeting.
We can go ahead with our first reading of it. Petitioner.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the Council. My name is Jeff Llewellyn. I'm with the Wilkins & Goller Law Firm here in Terre Haute. I'm here on behalf of the petitioner this evening, Strode Properties and Development, LLC. I actually came this evening with the intent to ask you to act upon this rezoning ordinance, despite the fact that it comes to you without action by the Plan Commission. And I believe you can do that in this case. This is an extraordinary circumstance. And if you look at the drafting of your ordinance, Section 2 of that ordinance states that it takes effect as an emergency. And I would submit that this falls into that category as much or more than any other rezoning that you consider. The property we're talking about is 1425 East Pew Street, and it's located along Erie Canal down south, Erie Canal to the east of this property. I-70 is located directly to the south of this property. Pew Street is the north side of this property, and therefore the address for this property. The intent is to rezone from its current R1 classification, and that's kind of key as we consider what I'm asking you to do, but it's zoned R1 right now. We're asking for an M1 rezoning into a light industry status. The intended use is for Strode Properties and Development to actually lease the property to its affiliate, Strode Construction, LLC, to operate its construction office there. So it would have offices as well as some warehousing for equipment and personal property type items, staging for their construction jobs. Mr. Strode, Jeff Strode, is here with me this evening. He's the principal of what would be both of those entities. He indicated to me that it was his intent to have this building completed by the end of the month and in part adding to the emergency situation, if you will. He's hired additional personnel. He does not have offices or room for those personnel where he's currently located, which adds to the situation. But most notably, if you'll turn to the maps that I had attached to the petition, there are a couple of pages of the zoning maps with overlay for the zoning classifications. And there's one that's kind of zoomed in a little closer, if you will, and then a second that pulls back a little bit. What I want to point out to you is the property that's located directly west of this property is an M1 zoning classification right now. If you look at the close-up on that property, you see a line going right through the middle of the building that sits on that property. The property on the east side of that parcel, the east end of that building,
was actually part of the 1425 property originally by legal description. So part of what was the whole piece got rezoned M1. The other part stayed R1. Now, despite the fact that it's zoned R1, its prior use was Mattingly Collision Center, which has been located there since 2001. So for 18 years, it's operated as a commercial and or M1 light industry use and business, despite the fact that it remains zoned R1. The property to the east of Erie Canal is Wolf Auto Auction property, and you see from the overhead maps that is their automobile parking facility. That's what's located there. That's zone C3. R1 continues to the north of Pew, but when you look at what is there, you see four buildings which all now currently house commercial office space residents. So it's not residential at all. It's all commercial and has been for many years. To the north, as that property continues up the street, is Professional Counsel Services, which again is a long-standing collection agency business here in Terre Haute that's been operating at that site, the corner of Canal and Margaret, for many, many years, yet its property remains zoned R1. Clearly, this property should not be zoned R1. It should be zoned M1 or a C2, C3. We're asking for the M1, which is consistent with the neighboring property to the west and in line with what was rezoned at one point, M1, the other part of this parent parcel, if you will. So for all of those reasons, we're asking for you to act to go ahead and rezone this property. And I don't know whether it's so much an action of a rezoning or if it's a correction of your zoning map in reality, because, again, the reality is the planning department, your enforcement agency, the council has allowed this area to operate, this lot specifically, in a commercial and or light industry status for over 18 years. So I think we can all tell by looking at the situation, it's a very easy rezone decision, if you will. And so we would ask for your favorable passage on the rezoning. As far as the status of coming to you without the plan commission meeting, you can rest assured that obviously the petition was properly filed. The plan commission did schedule its meeting, call its meeting. The plan department itself did make a staff recommendation that was favorable for the rezoning. The only reason the plan commission did not act was because they didn't have a quorum and therefore couldn't take any action last night and have their meeting. But items from the plan commission with regard to rezone can come to you with an unfavorable recommendation or no recommendation, and you still have the final authority to go forward with rezoning that property. So I'm asking you to treat this as it came to you with no recommendation and therefore go forward with what I believe is a straightforward rezoning option. Thank you. I'd take any questions that you might have.
Is there anyone from the public who wants to speak on Special Ordinance 22, 2019? Okay. Council?
Question.
Yes.
Have we ever...
I'm pulling the statutes right now.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask.
There's something in there that says it has to be certified. It says it has to be certified.
Okay. I'm not against the rezoning. I just want to make sure that we can... We don't have to come back and say, well, we didn't do something that was proper.
Right. And if it's a matter of... adopting it such that it's certified by the Planning Commission at their next meeting. I think we're agreeable to that.
Subject to certification.
Exactly. Right. But we can't go forward with even the construction without some action on your part. And so we wait another month into November if we wait.
Let's wait and see, I guess. Some chat.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever doing this without first having something from the plan. Do you? Anybody?
My memory's not what it used to be.
Yeah, me either.
I can tell you I've never done it.
Yeah, and again, I just want to make sure whatever we do is within the, we don't have to come back again in November and say, right, hey, we messed up. So.
Well, worst case scenario, if we have to come back in November, we have to come back November if you don't do anything tonight.
Right.
So,
It says the Area Planning Commission of Eagle County now hereby attaches certification as required by IC 3674401.
But does it say the certification has to take place before council can act on it? That's
going through that statute right now.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I can tell you that a rezone petition can be initiated by the applicant, by area planning, or by council. So it would seem if you could initiate it, it could come back around to you.
It says each planning commission shall supervise and make rules, prescribe uniform rules. Number three, keep a complete record of all departmental proceedings. Number four, record and file all bonds. Number five, prepare and publish reports. Number six, adopt a seal. Number seven, certify all official acts. So if we go to the next one, which is 605, and I will print these for you.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot doing, I didn't intend for you to have to research, but I understand why. I will tell you, as we're waiting, I did speak with Executive Director of Area Plan and advise him that I did intend to be here this evening and to make this request to you, indicating I didn't want to get out of line with their department or get sideways there. And he said he understood and he appreciated the heads up.
Which I would point out is not the same thing as saying okay.
No, no. No, I understand.
Or that it's a lot, or that it's legal.
Right. No, I'm not saying that. And I don't know whether I had indicated that the plan department made a recommendation that was favorable. I know that's the case. I don't know whether that got passed on to you and is in your packet or not. But
it is not. We won't receive it until Saturday.
When do they meet?
That's
the next one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just. They didn't say, we'll meet next week.
I believe November
6th. Yeah, they won't meet till November.
Right. Which, unfortunately, I can tell you for personal reasons, I will not be here. But at least I've made, you know, the presentation to you, so.
Well, as you can tell from the questions you've gotten, we're more concerned about process at this point, at least it appears,
sure,
in substance. So.
And why does this have to be done prior to that?
Read letter D. Can you pass those down, please?
Letter D. Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Before we can act, we have to have something.
I can go pull 606 or
607. That's what it sounds like.
I would say, Jeff, looking at this, and did you get a copy of it?
Yes.
Well, I'll let other people say, but my own response would be that I understand that you want to get this going, but I would be more comfortable from a process point of view if we waited. But that's.
And just reading this, it sounds like even if they don't give a recommendation, mm-hmm. it has to go through them first and then come to us before we can act on it. That's what it sounds like.
Like they have an opportunity to give a recommendation.
Yeah, they have to have that opportunity first in order to present it to us. That's what it sounds like to me.
And I do understand they've been
I'm not a lawyer. I'm going to let you lawyers
fight. Well, no, and I do understand that they've been presented with an opportunity mm-hmm. and were unable to act. But
correct.
Nevertheless, that's I think it doesn't allow for that situation.
But to get the quickest results, do we need to table or let it, or is it the same thing?
They're not going to meet again before right. before next week, so
right.
that won't help Jeff and his client out very much.
Right.
They're not. They won't meet again until November, I don't think. November 6th.
Correct.
Correct.
And I do read. I'm looking at paragraph A, mm-hmm. I believe. Is that right?
No. D.
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 Oh. D.
So they read that.
Okay.
In paragraph B, the legislative body shall consider the recommendation, if any, of the commission before acting on the proposal under these sections.
Pretty much.
I paraphrased these sections. I didn't think you wanted to hear the numbers, but if you do, I'll read them.
Well, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought Michelle said B, and I was looking at A, but I yeah. understand it's D. But the legislative body shall consider the recommendation, if any, of the commission before acting. And what I'm saying is they didn't make one. So, I mean, it leaves the door open, if any. If they don't make a recommendation, you still can't act. And again, they
but
have three choices.
But after consideration. I mean, if they actively
right.
don't make a recommendation, that's different than just
right.
never meeting and having to consider.
But it doesn't say that. It says you shall consider their recommendation, if any. It doesn't say they shall consider the legislative body.
No, I understand that, Jeff. I'm not arguing that. The consideration is ours if there is a recommendation. But having actively chosen not to make a recommendation. Having a meeting and saying we're not making a recommendation
is
different.
I agree.
Than never
I agree.
Having a meeting. And
no, I agree completely. And I understand what I'm asking you to do is out of the ordinary procedure of the council.
This is kind of fun, Jeff. I don't
well,
get to do this
yeah,
very often
no.
anymore.
Yeah, welcome back to the
I
legal.
I love lawyers. I tell you.
No, so I understand. And admittedly, that's why I said kind of in the beginning, I'm asking you to do something kind of on an emergency basis that you wouldn't normally do. And if I could encourage you to even do it with the understanding that if they certify we're good, then we don't have to come back. It gets us down the road that far.
If you read C, a proposal to change the zone maps, would that be what we're basically doing?
Mm-hmm.
Incorporated by reference into the ordinance under Section 608 of this chapter, shall be certified to the legislative body by the Metropolitan Development Commission, regardless of whether the proposal receives a favorable, unfavorable, or no recommendation.
Right.
So basically it's saying they have to certify it before we can act on it.
But here I'm going to put the lawyer hat back on and say subsection C is led with the CAPS Metro, so it applies only to a metro.
Okay.
And we are not a metro.
Okay.
We are an area. Or
okay.
So
that
section would not apply. So we don't. So when you go to D, you see you don't have the same language that says they shall certify to the legislative body. You know, it's different.
Right. Did you ask them if, since they didn't have a quorum, if there's any way they could schedule a special call meeting between?
I didn't at that point. I mean, could we ask for it? Yes. I guess
I mean,
we could.
Because that wasn't your fault. That was
right.
on
no,
them
that's
for
right.
not having enough members
right.
at the meeting.
But they have a very large, I think it's 15 members, and so my thought was to get them to call a special meeting would be slim and none and getting
I
it done.
I was just thinking.
But I appreciate the thought. No,
protect us and to protect.
Right.
Sure.
Thank you.
Right. But if we had to do that before you acted, then I'd have to have you call a special meeting and, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Well, no, I got a question.
Sure.
If they would call a special call between now and next Thursday, then we could act on this next Thursday.
Yeah, if they would do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So if they would hold their a special call, whatever they call theirs.
I'm not sure they have time to do it, to publish it and give the notice for a special meeting. Mm-hmm. I think they have to give at least 5 days.
Yeah, about 10.
Sorry.
10.
And it says, it says the recommendation of the Plan Commission concerning the proposal must be on file in the Commission's office for public examination for at least 10 days before any hearing scheduled under the subsection. On completion of the hearing, the legislative body shall consider the proposal. So I have my lawyer hat on now. So
yeah, okay. Which one are we looking at now? What are we looking at now?
It is on what we just got.
I just got another. Oh, I see.
I've got two.
Okay, it's D.
Okay. You're on page one of section 606.
Right here.
I see 36. I'm right here.
I see it. I'm
D. Yeah.
George, where are you? George, where are you at?
On IC-36-7-4, when you go down to where it starts at the date, time, and place of the hearing, under D, the recommendation of the Plan Commission. Okay. You see that?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll find it.
First page, section 6.
First page, all the way down to D.
Halfway down the page.
Halfway down the page. Section D.
Subsection D.
Subsection D, I'm sorry. Sorry about this. I mean, I don't think it's a big problem, but I don't want to do something that we're not really supposed
right,
to be doing.
Right, right. Well, again, I'll say if there's a recommendation, but if they don't act or if there's no... But I understand what President Crossan is saying is not being able to act is different than making no recommendation.
Yeah,
I understand that.
It's unfortunate because certainly you did everything to get this to this point. So.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like prior to anything, the Planning Commission has to make a recommendation, whether it's no recommendation or it sounds like they have to make it no matter what. Am I reading it right?
I understand your reading. And again, my hope was that we could invoke the emergency language and understand that it has been filed, publicly announced, noticed. This meeting's obviously on the agenda and noticed, and nobody's here, and so it was my hope we could move forward. If we can't, that's your decision, obviously. And I'll have somebody else here next month.
I don't know how council wants to proceed, but if I think what we have to do, knowing that we can't consider this until November 7th, we either have to vote tonight and then vote to table until November, or next week we would have to vote to table until November.
Okay. What if we wait till next week, and in the meantime you contact the head of area plan and see if we can do this? We're only doing a week.
Right.
And if he says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, it's fine, then we're done and it gets it out of November and we're good.
I would appreciate that.
Is that okay? That
yes.
Sounds good to you.
And I guess that's a chance to check with Eddie, too.
That's
to
right.
A chance to
that's
check.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we will leave this for...
We'll treat it as first reading.
Second, yes. No action this week, second reading next week, and then if we need a table, we will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your patience.
Sorry to take the time on what's already a long evening.
That's okay. We're going to take about a 5-minute break here. Come back at, let's say, 8:06 or 7 and knock out the rest of this. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting back to order for real this time. And I think without any, again, without objection, I appreciate everybody's flexibility tonight, that we will do appropriation 17-2019 first, if that's okay, which is the sanitary budget. Is that okay with you, Mr. Mayor?
Appropriation 17-2019, the 2020 City of Terre Haute sanitary budget.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Madam President, members of the Council, Mayor Duke Bennett, I had given you a copy of that Form 1 budget estimate when we met previously. It's a one-page document that shows a budget of $4,236,499. And as a reminder, this is basically the maximum amount we can get, so it's what the budget is. And so this covers debt service. And so that's all that money goes, all the debt services related to wastewater treatment plant. So I'd be happy to answer any questions when that time comes after public comment.
Is anyone from the public who would like to speak on appropriation 17-2019?
Ask a clarification. Are we only talking about the wastewater budget now?
Yes, just a sanitary budget.
I have no question.
Anyone else? Okay. Any more questions or comments from council?
Madam President?
Yes.
I make a motion we approve appropriation 17-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Elliott that we approve appropriation 17-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you.
Next item of business.
Appropriation 16-2019, the 2020 City of Terre Haute budget.
Madam President, members of the Council, Mayor Duke Bennett, in front of you, I'm just going to go right to this document, the 2020 budget reduction. So you were just handed this a few minutes ago. It's a three-page, about 2.5 pages of text on it. And just to kind of take you back in time just briefly, when we advertised the budget, so I guess looking at this document, you'll see the advertised amount column right directly after the description. Is the advertised amount, so that's what is out to the world. And during the budget meetings that we had, I told you of some changes that we were going to make to the budget. These will be the amendments that you will need to make tonight to the original budget in order to vote on. So we'll have to amend it with these and then vote on the entire amended budget. There's nothing here that is unique. We talked about most of these things. The biggest numbers are the biggest changes on here. They may be smaller, but the biggest number is related to group health, life insurance and benefits kind of things we made adjustments with in a variety of departments. We added a position in the city clerk's office because of some miscommunication internally, and so we removed a position in engineering to make up for that we weren't going to fill, or at this point we weren't going to fill. So it didn't change the bottom line of the general fund. We swapped positions. If you flip to the second page, I'm just picking out the highlights here. We had, I'm trying to just look for something significant, group health primarily. We added two EPD officers that we talked about in the EPD section. We reduced services contractual and LRS. That was a pretty significant one. We reduced rental of equipment, principal on note, and MVH. Under parks, it's group health. Group health the rest of the way. And then the last big thing is one that I did not talk to you about. But I see there's a mistake on this sheet, though, Leslie. That should be wastewater. Both of those are wastewater. So scratch engineering non-reverting, and that is wastewater treatment budget. Apologize for that. And the biggest change there is we reduced that $1.7 million budget for the cleanup of the lagoons by $500,000. We found out over the last few days that they're ahead of schedule. It's because it hasn't rained, as we remove that material from the ponds down there, it has to set and dry before we take it to the landfill. And so they're ahead of schedule and under budget. So we won't need $1.7 million next year. We'll probably need somewhere around $1 million. And so I want to leave a cushion so we don't are not short, but we want to reduce that by $500,000. And then, as I mentioned last time, that will go away in 2021. We won't need that anymore. So the total of changes, the total down at the bottom, is 1.776116 reductions from the originally advertised budget. And these are the individual changes that we're asking you to amend into an appropriation.
Can I just ask a point of clarification?
Yes.
Just so I understand. So the advertised amount is what we've seen in the most recent budget that you've given us.
No.
And
no, that's the first budget, right? We had given you some updates, but these are everything. So
these
that was because we did a few more after we met last.
So adopted also would equal amended amount.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Yeah. And we didn't give you another copy of this before because what we need to do is give you one copy. If you approve this, mm-hmm. we'll send you a clean copy, but waiting to see if you make these amendments or not. So there's additional reductions.
And I'll get to council commenting about specific things here in a second, but I think from a procedural point of view, just so we all understand, when and if someone wants to move these amendments and then move adoption, if that should happen tonight, which Michelle will need to read them into the record first, but she will do that before the motion. So.
Right. That will make it legal.
When we're through discussing, we'll have her read those into this.
Yes.
All right. So is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on Appropriation 16, 2019, which is the city budget for 2020?
Yes. My name is Donald Hyde. I'd like to comment on the budget. I would like to remind you of the word opportunity. I've said it, and I'm not going to be ashamed of saying it again to you. Your job as city council and the mayor's job as the mayor is to provide opportunity to the public at large, opportunities for their families to go out and do stuff, the citizens to go out and have a party somewhere, the community to have. Like you had a couple of years ago, you had this great party weekend where everybody had bands there. You brought in things. They sold stuff. It was great. It was one of the best things I'd seen in over 20 years in this town. And I fully expected this year and last year to see it again. It happened once. All right. They made it better the next year, and then it never happened again. And I'm still waiting for it to happen again a summer from now. Again, that's what I mean by the word opportunity. For the public to get together. You talk about a community. Well, one of the things that I think that your community budget's not going for is the parks. The only reason I picked the parks is because the library and the parks are the only places where everybody can get together. You haven't got too many limitations on it. As long as you behave yourself, but that's common sense. But everywhere else, there's a limit. And the biggest limit for the poor kids, for the poor elderly people, is money. They simply haven't got it. Your job is for a little bit to give them a break, to give them a place to go and be part of a community. You guys are talking always about how it's a community, public health and all this stuff. Well, public health means you guys got to plan stuff. Now, you're talking about a budget that's almost $100 million. You can't break off a few hundred thousand here and there to plan something for the public at large that doesn't require us putting in lots of money? We can't just get together and have a meeting? I think you're wrong on that. And one of the things I'd like to see is the parks. You have one pool right now. Now, you talk about having a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. I got to have it. But have something accomplished each of those 10 years so when you get done, you've done something great. I'm not seeing that. When I vote for elected officers, I want to see leadership in the sense that they can get something planned and then carry it out. Again, I'm not seeing that in your budget. Now, granted, it's a budget, it's a balanced budget. I'm not going to argue with that. So that's part of it. But the greater part is that word opportunity. You guys are talking about getting people to show up and visit our town. Visit what? And that's a fair question. Visit what? And I'm talking to all nine of you and him. You tell me what you want to visit. And you can rattle off a few things. But after coming a couple of days and spending them here, are you going to come back? You've seen it all. What are you going to do to get people to come back to visit? Then you're talking about a convention center. You get it built. You're going to pull people here. What are the people coming here going to see? And how does it tie into the history of our community? I can name off the top of my head 10 things that would tie into the history of this community that's not in existence right now. And some of it once existed. Yet we never rebuilt it. For one thing, I would say you could easily build a Fort Wilmington, or you could rebuild Fort Harrison to be rebuilt. It wouldn't cost that much money. You could get labor, reduced prices on all of it, leadership, and you could build something. You'd have something for people to come and see. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is what kids see in school. If they're lucky, a picture. And they touch the picture. They look at the picture. Like, and I'm an artist. I know what I'm talking about on this. But there's one thing to see a picture of something. It's another thing to walk into a reconstruction of Fort William Henry McKinley. Imagine what the teachers could do with that. I've already said to you, rebuild one of the one-room schoolhouses. Put it by the river. And by the way, I can show you a map, a historical map.
Mr. Hyde, these are all very interesting ideas and opportunities, but I don't know how they fit into this particular budget. So if you could wrap up your remarks.
All right, I'll wrap it up. The budget, you guys got to keep money in the budget to do something. And the Parks Department is where it's going to come from. I've heard the mayor say that so far he's managed to limit the Parks Department, cut the Parks Department. One of the things the Parks Department did when I was a kid is they'd have baseball in the summer. They had basketball in the fall. In other words, they could have their employees set up with the land of the schools, with the land of the parks, and they could have things for the kids to do. Right now, you don't have anything. O means opportunity. Opportunity means you guys come up with something for them to do. Don't just say, oh, we got a park. Let the parents do it or let this do it. You guys organize something. O is for opportunity, but O sounds for organization as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to be back up here again.
Madam President, if I can take an opportunity just a second.
Please.
I want to rebuttal just a little bit to Mr. Hyde. My niece plays travel ball. I've traveled from here to Florida, from here to Alabama, from wherever. I visited many parks, and one thing I can say is I'm proud of our parks. I will say that. We got a park with a riverfront right down here at Fairbanks Park. Many activities going on down there. We got softball diamonds up there. Dimming Park, wonderful park. Collett Park is one of our most beautiful parks. One thing I can say, and I've heard people say that's come to our community, is how wonderful our parks are. So I just want that to be on record that I'm proud of our parks as a community. I've been to other communities. I've seen their parks. And I'm going to tell you, our parks have got a lot more to offer than other places have. I yield.
Thank you. Mr. Hyde, you do not have the floor.
It's council discussion.
Yes, it's council discussion only. Thank you. Anyone else from council? I want to speak about this appropriation. Earl?
These changes that you provided this evening,
mm-hmm.
they don't happen to be reflected in a revised budget summary form, do they?
Yes, they do.
Oh!
Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Just going to see if someone asked the right question.
I missed the opportunity.
Thank you.
Go there again. You're not organized.
Yeah.
See?
Thank you, Councilman Elliott, for pointing that out. At the top, I'm one short. I'll get you one, Michelle. I promise. I didn't mean to forget you. The date is at the top, 10/3/19. So your old copies you can dispose of. We have made the adjustments. And one other thing I'll mention, just we did make one tiny revenue change, an MVH of a plus $36,000, which it's on this form. It's not in anything you guys have to sign tonight, but we got some new numbers that increased it by $36,000. So we're not going to lose as much as we thought we were, but we'll see how that plays out. So if you look at the budget summary, you can see if you take across the total of the operating funds at the top section, the budget has revenues over expenses of $742,593. And then drop down to the very bottom, because you're including wastewater and the new budget for the record clerk's record non-reverting. The total is $1.8 million now. It was previously $1.2 million. So some of those changes had been reflected in here, Councilman Elliott, before when I gave you a copy last month.
Right.
These are the rest of them.
Yeah.
So this is an accurate reflection. Once again, based on if we spend 100% of the budget, this is how the budget will perform in 2020. Projected cash balances for 12/31/19 and the projected cash balances for 12/31 of 20, assuming 100% budget spend and obviously revenues come in what we believe they will. So we improved that from last time.
I yield.
Okay.
You ready to have amendments read in?
Yes. Any other comments before Michelle does read in the amendments or questions? Yes.
I'm sorry. I do have one more. I brought up Fund 718 last time.
Yes.
We got the July statement yesterday, late yesterday. I looked at it this morning. The cash balance has significantly changed in that. And apparently the accounting issues that you had indicated have been accounting transactions that needed to be reflected have been reflected, and that cash statement made a lot more sense to me today. So I think I'm comfortable with that the balance in that fund, and the others were pretty much were what they were or what they have been. So
we finalized that audit early this week and then finished out the financials that we sent you yesterday that reflect the end of July.
So was that a forensic audit?
It could be considered that.
Not decent.
We're all getting a little punch crazy.
Yes.
I yield.
Anyone else? If there's no further discussion, or would people like a little longer to look at anything? If nothing further, Michelle could go ahead and read the amendments into the record. I guess you could do that anyway, and if people have questions after that while you're reading, we can go to them. So take it away.
Sorry, Michelle.
General Fund, Mayor, 413.030, Employee of Group Health, is being changed to 28,000. It's a reduction of 13,800. Clerk, 412015, Deputy Clerk, is being increased to $227,025. That is an increase of $33,426. Clerk, 413010, Employee Social Security, is being increased to $20,241. That's an increase of $2,072. Clerk, number 413020, Employer Medicare, being increased to $4,734. That's an increase of $485. Clerk, number 413030, Employer Group Health, is being reduced to $51,571. That's a reduction of $10,000. Clerk, Life insurance, number 413050, is being increased to $700. That's an increase of $70. Clerk, number 413060, employer perf, is being increased to $36,565. That's an increase of $33,744. General fund judge, number 413060, employer group health, is being reduced to $15,000. That's a reduction of $18,678. General fund counsel, 412015, council members, is being reduced to $127,494. That's a reduction of $1,278. Council number 413010, employer group, employer social security, is being reduced to $7,905, which is a reduction of $79. Council number 413020, employer Medicare, is being reduced to $1,850. That's a reduction of $17. Council number 413030, employer group health, is being reduced to $88,000. That's a reduction of $15,750. Council 413060, employer perf, is being reduced to $14,280. That's a reduction of $720. General fund controller 413060, employer group health, is being reduced to $58,000. That's a reduction of $5,460. General fund IT number 413060, employer group health, is being reduced to $109,000, which is a reduction of $5,463. General fund engineering, number 412219, staff engineer level 1 is being eliminated to 0. That's a reduction of $31,815. Engineering, number 413010, employer social security, is being reduced to $36,565. That's a reduction of $1,973. Engineering 413020, employer Medicare, is being reduced to $8,552. That's a reduction of $461. Engineering employer group health 413030 is being reduced to $80,109. That's a reduction of $58,891. Engineering number 413060, employer perf, is being reduced to $65,348. That's a reduction of $3,563. General fund maintenance, number 413030, employer group health, is being reduced to $7,500. That's a reduction of $9,220. Legal and general fund, 412194, administrator, is being reduced to $41,828. That's a reduction of $9,200. Legal, 413010, employer social security, is being reduced to $16,978. That is a reduction of $570. Legal 413020, employer Medicare, is being reduced to $3,971. That's a reduction of $133. Legal employer group health is being increased to $63,000. That is an increase of $22,665. General fund fire, employer group health, is being reduced to $1.9 million. That is a reduction of $91,214. Police general fund 413030, employer group health, is being reduced to $2,030,000. That's a reduction of $70,000. General fund EPD 412158, EPD officers, is being increased to $203,982, which is an increase of $62,553. EPD 413010, employer social security, is being increased to $18,049. That's an increase of $3,879. EPD 413020, employer Medicare, is being increased to $4,221. That's an increase of $907. EPD 413030, employer group health, is being increased to $80,000. That's an increase of $19,152. EPD number 413050, employer life, is being increased to $720. That's an increase of $180. EPD number 413060, employer perf, is being increased to $30,946. That's an increase of $7,006. Total general fund reduction is $192,146. LRS fund number 432010, services contractual, is being decreased to $55,000. That's a decrease of $400,000. LRS number 438010, rental of equipment, is being increased to $175,000, which is a total increase of $175,000. Total overall change for all our LRS fund is a decrease of $225,000. MVH fund, number 413030, employer group health, is being decreased to $450,000. That's a decrease of $62,488. MVH number 438010, rental of equipment, is being eliminated. It is being reduced $175,000 to zero. MBH, number 439178, principal on note, is being reduced $170,596 to zero. MBH, number 439179, interest on note, is being reduced from $751 to zero. That's a deduction of $7,851. A total reduction for MVH of $415,935. Parks Fund, Employer Group Health, is being reduced from to $390,000, so that's a reduction of $174,879. Total reduction for Parks Fund is $174,879. Cemetery, Employer Group Health, number 413030, is being reduced to $95,000. That's a reduction of $33,000. Total reduction for cemetery is $33,000. Transit Fund, number 413030, Employer Group Health, is being reduced to $380,000. That is a reduction of $73,981. Total reduction for transit is $73,981. Ray Park Fund, 413030, is being reduced to $60,000. That's a reduction of $12,000. Total reduction for Ray Park Fund is $12,000. Home and Links Fund, 413030, is being reduced to $40,000. The amount of reduction is $18,500. Total reduction for Home and Links is $18,500. Wastewater Treatment Plant, number 413030, is being reduced to $730,000. The total reduction is $130,675. Wastewater Treatment Plant, CS Lagoons, number 432021, is being reduced to $1.2 million. That's a reduction of $500,000. Total reduction for Wastewater Treatment Plant is $630,675. Total budget reductions in total is $1,776,116.
Congratulations, Breathe. Michelle.
Take a drink.
Can you repeat that?
Okay, is there any other discussion from council then?
Madam President?
Yes.
You know, Mayor, I apologize. You may have already addressed these, and I just wasn't keeping up. But after going through that list and looking, I do have a couple of questions.
Okay.
One, first, just an overview. There's a recurring theme in here of reductions in the amount of employer group health.
Mm-hmm.
Did you already address why that's happening?
Well, there's every year we estimate, especially with open positions, what we think our group health is going to be based on our previous experience. What's changed now that we're on the Teamsters plan, it's much more stable. And so we get billed once a month for the amount of people that are on the plan, which is much different than getting billed weekly for claims, et cetera. So this is, it's a lot cleaner, a lot easier for us to track, a lot easier for us to nail down. When we first put the budget together, we just didn't have that audit done. We were still dealing with the Teamsters, weren't sure who all was on the plan, who wasn't, which family or single or spouse. And so it took about a month to get all that sorted out, and it took us about a month to go back through, and that's why we're making all these changes at once. We believe this reflects what we need for 2020 for what people have selected for their insurance and then putting the maximum amount in for open positions because we don't know what they're going to choose. And so we just wanted to make it as accurate as we possibly could. But it's a reduction overall. We're going to spend less on health care. That's the bottom line.
I definitely see that. And I guess the other question is, do you have a number like that group health is costing us this much less total?
I will have that for you. I mean, this year is an aberration, as I've mentioned
right,
before,
yeah,
because we got the new fees that started in July, but we're still paying the old fees for 2 or 3 months, plus we've got the clinic in there.
Right.
So this will be a high year, and the next year it levels off, and it'll stay the same basically for a year and a half.
Okay.
So we're going to put a budget together for you guys. I mean, it's not part of the package here. But we now that I have the final numbers and I know where we're at, we can build a budget for 2020 and share that with you so you can kind of see how we think it's going to end this year. We've got to do that cash projection for 12/31 of 19, but I kind of already know what the rest of it is, so we'll be able to show that to you. Okay. Maybe on next Thursday night I can probably bring that.
Thanks. So there's the general overview is that it's all going down, but then on page 2 in legal, I see the administrator, employee Social Security, employee Medicare, all going down for employer Medicare and Social Security, all going down. But employer group health goes up $63,000. What's the story there?
Go ahead.
Or no, it goes up to 63. It increases right. 22,000.
Right. Well, if you remember, which I knew that part, but I guess I didn't know the second part. So this is the Board of Works employee that we moved to the legal department, but we didn't have the health insurance figured out at that time. When okay. we made that move of the position, we just hadn't finished the audit of the health insurance component.
Okay, thanks. Again, I apologize if you've already addressed this, but in LRS, mm-hmm. on that same page, you're cutting $400,000, leaving $55,000. Can you please address that?
Well, and
services contractual.
It connects with MVH also. We have to calculate, as you know, and you heard when Paige mentioned tonight, we really have two MVH funds now. We have a restricted fund that has to be 50% of the revenues we receive that have to go to the streets. The other half can be used for operations. So our revenues went down. We were estimating about $300,000. We had to shift some things between LRS and MVH to maintain that 50-50 balance. Mm-hmm. So we've cleaned that up. And I'd mentioned that last time. I just didn't get into the details of this. But we were able to – we had some things in both budgets to advertise high, and now we've cleaned that up. So we put them where we think they belong, and we know we'll stay within the 50-50 on the MVH.
Well, I suspect that is the explanation for my next questions in MVH.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We put everything, so we were still able to do what we want to do, but you have to shuffle the things from MVH to LRS, and so we kind of doubled it up to advertise high. That's where we chose to do it until we sorted that out. And so we've removed what we don't need.
Okay, I get it now. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you.
Madam
President,
there's no further questions. I move that we approve Appropriation 16-2019 as amended.
Point of order.
We need to amend first.
I'm sorry.
We need to move to amend first. She's read the amendments in, but we haven't amended yet. So we need to vote.
Withdraw your motion.
Withdraw your motion.
Just withdraw your.
I withdraw.
So I would entertain a motion to amend as presented.
Madam President, I move that we amend Appropriation 16-2019 as presented.
Second.
It has been moved by Councilperson DeBond and seconded by Councilperson Azar that we amend as presented Appropriation 16-2019. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is so amended. Now I would entertain your motion.
Amy?
Madam President?
Yeah.
I appreciate all of this information, getting it here at this meeting and having an opportunity to discuss it. I also appreciate the fact that after repeated requests, The most recent comprehensive financial plan was presented to us also at this meeting, and we had an opportunity to go to do a high-level review of it with Paige Sanson. And I see that we have another meeting a week from today. I would appreciate a week to look at this stuff. Michelle's shaking her head. Why can't we do that?
Two or three years ago, I called the Department of Local Government Finance, and I called the Public Access Counselor. And because it's the budget, it has its own rules. So it would be at least 2.5 weeks. And the information would have to be reposted in the DLGF. We have to recess this meeting and reconvene. In approximately 2.5 weeks, and the DLGF needs to approve our recessing this meeting and reconvening. Again, it's only because it's the budget.
Does that put us past a deadline, or is
no,
it just...
No, we could do that, but we would have to have a special call to do it. And in that time pattern that Michelle has just generally described.
Okay, I understand that. I really want to vote for this budget, but I can't do that without having more time to absorb the information I've been presented with tonight. I yield.
So I think our alternatives then at this point are either to have a motion to approve and to vote that one way or the other, or for us to have a motion to recess and pick a date to meet again. So I think those are our options. Or to not vote and let's just let it go, and then we'll be stuck with last year's budget.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a mistake.
I think that's the one we definitely don't want.
That would be a mistake.
Yes, that's the one we definitely don't want.
Yes.
Point of order.
Yes.
I think right now all we're voting on is to amend this, right?
No, we've already voted.
We just did.
That's what we just did.
No.
Unanimously.
We did?
Did 4-2.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I told you I was tired.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve this budget as amended. Correct? Mm-hmm. What we just stated.
Second.
Been moved by Councilperson Morris and seconded by Councilperson Azar that we approve this budget as amended.
Madam President?
Yes.
A request for roll call, please.
Okay. A request for roll call. I would request discussion first. I'm probably going to vote for this, but I do think we've had a genuine request from one of our members for some additional time. There is some work involved in that and some lack of convenience involved in that. But this is an important, maybe the most important thing we do all year. So
I must say I'm going to be gone in 2 weeks. So that's the reason I would like to be involved.
I appreciate that.
I had a question. Yes. Mayor, when did you get this, the comprehensive plan?
A couple days ago.
Is there a reason why it wasn't mailed to us a couple days ago?
Yeah, because we hadn't had time to review it.
Okay.
And it's that simple. And as Paige said, it's a working document. So now it is your opportunity. If there's anything, questions about it, we'll modify it. It's not a final one. It's her, as of today, that is her presentation to us. And it will evolve, especially when we get whatever budget you approve. She'll go back in and plug those numbers in, and then whatever revenues change between now and the first of the year, we'll make those changes to that document.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor moved by Councilperson Moore, seconded by Councilperson Azar, that we approve Appropriation 16-2019. We've had a request for a roll call vote. Michelle?
Councilperson Aller?
Yes.
Councilperson Azar?
Yes.
Councilperson DeBond?
Yes.
Councilperson Elliott?
Yes.
Councilperson Garrison?
Yes.
Councilperson Morris?
Yes.
Councilperson Nassar?
Yes.
Councilperson Nation?
No.
Councilperson Crossan?
Yes.
That's 8 yes, 1 no.
Thank you.
You're on, George.
Oh, we're done? Okay, I move to adjourn.
Wait a minute.
We got the next one.
Yeah. And that's Tom.
No, that was approval of the budget.
Now we got to sign, right?
Yeah. I was told to be.
I thought I had said motion carries, but hadn't done that. Motion carries on the budget. We got a motion to adjourn. It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm sorry, your election is